my gosh, I have like 550 friend requests on Facebook. Should I respond to this one? We only have two friends in common. This guy, I wonder if he goes to South Bay.
He must be a creeper. Maybe he wants to see the pictures of my kids. I don't think I'm going to be his friend. Oh gosh, I can't believe I didn't send that message.
There's that one guy that I told I would respond to his message, but then now he's going to see me at the guest center. What am I going to do when I see him at the guest center? I think I'll greet another guest when he comes to the guest center. That sounds like a good plan. Oh gosh, Siri didn't write that thing down. Siri sucks. She's horrible. She never gets it right. I should probably put this in my Things app. Oh man, my life needs to be more organized. I can't believe my life is so disorganized. I bet you if everybody knew how disorganized I am, nobody would want to follow me or listen to what I have to say. Okay, I'll use this Things app. I'll write it down. Okay, yeah. Oh gosh, I gotta do a message. Did I prepare for the message? No, I've just been drinking coffee all week. I didn't prepare for the message. Oh gosh, I think I'm at South Bay right now. I should probably pull this thing off. Pull my head out of my head. Oh, hey, how's everybody doing? Oh, welcome. So good to see you. I just have one last really important thing I had to do before I spoke today. Not that anybody would ever check their messages while I'm speaking or anything like that. So let me give you my full attention. You guys know that guy? Have you ever seen that guy before? If you have not seen him, you are him or her. I want to welcome you today to the kickoff of our brand new message series called Pull Your Head Out of Your App. And technology oftentimes runs our lives here in Silicon Valley. We have one of the most innovative cultures in the entire world that creates technology, but we also embrace it with all of our heart, with all of our mind. We live lives in technology. We send texts through technology. We respond to messages through our phones. We check our balances there. We have apps to control and to organize everything, and then we get disorganized as a result. And we have so much of our life that is lived on the screen. And over the next 4 weeks here at South Bay, we want to address how technology influences our lives. And this challenge of technology, it's not getting any better. It's not going away. It is just a part of our lives. And for those of us who are followers of Jesus especially, we have to take the time to pause and ask deep questions about how technology is changing the way we think, how we live, how we respond to God, how we relate to one another. And so we're so glad that you're here for the kickoff of this series. And if you don't believe that technology is a problem or if it is a huge part of our lives, let's just do a little experiment together. Let's look at this picture from 2005, the Papal Conclave, when the Pope was installed as the leader of the church. Look at all these people enjoying the moment with candles, and there they are just embracing the fact that here is this new Pope who they are going to follow, and he's going to be their leader. And then 8 years later afterwards, I want us to notice in such a short period of time how much hairstyles changed. Just kidding. Look at that reality of how much technology has become a part of our everyday, every moment of our lives in 8 short years. And I like this picture here of the Pope actually taking a picture of everybody else. So even the Pope has an iPhone or some kind of smartphone. This is a part of our lives. In fact, some of the stats that I found staggering in research and preparation for this series. Did you know that the average teenager clocks between 7 to 11 hours of media consumption per day? For those of you who have teenagers, you're like, that's actually really kind of conservative. A lot of teenagers, most of their lives, most of their waking hours are spent on a screen. 21% of Facebook users say that they check it first thing in the morning, even before peeing. I mean, that's just crazy, isn't it? Oh man, I really, really got to pee, but I wonder if she liked that comment I made right before I went to sleep last night. The average teenager sends over 3,000 text messages per month. Now, I have some siblings who are teenagers. I think that that's actually a pretty conservative estimate of how often teenagers are on their phones. Children with cell phones tend not to make friends with children who do not have cell phones, and over half of young adults spend more time talking to people screen to screen than actually face to face. And this is a part of our lives that we have to wrestle through how we are using technology and how it's influencing our lives. And I just want to say on the front end, I'm not like this great religious leader up here telling you that I have gotten this all figured out. I'm going through the same journey with you. In fact, a couple weeks ago, I had my phone with me, and it was like the end of the day, you know, where you've tried to charge the phone throughout the day, but you just hit that moment where the charger's gone, and you got like 5% of your battery left. And you know that the looming reality of you being in the dark for about a half hour exists. And before you go into the dark, you have to post a Facebook message and Twitter and tell your loved ones that there might be 20 minutes, that they can't get a hold of you. And so I go to pull my phone out, and right at that moment, as I'm going to text Stacy to let her know that I won't be around my phone because it's about to die, the phone comes out of my pocket and it spirals into the air and starts doing these 180 flips. And it crashes onto the floor with a loud thud, and that one spot where the screen protector had broken hits the ground, and the screen shatters from one corner to the next, and I wept and just was in such misery. And I am so compulsive that I could not help myself, and for the next 24 hours until I got the screen fixed, I cut my thumbs on the screen because I couldn't help myself. So I'm right there with you. I am wrestling through what we're going to journey together through over these next 4 weeks of really asking, how is technology not just affecting us, but how is technology affecting me? And there are three goals that we really want to dive into through this series. First of all, we want to identify our own personal traps with technology. It's going to be different for you than it is for somebody else. We're all at different seasons of life. We all have our own different struggles. And for some person, for one person, it might be a struggle with looking at pornography on their phones, and they want to get out of that. For another person, it's looking at their phones so much that they don't interact with the people in their life. But we want to identify our own personal traps. We want to develop a proper framework for how we think about technology. We want to see it the correct way from a biblical lens for those of us who are followers of Jesus. And then we want to create new habits that protect against destructive patterns in our lives. We want to really leverage our own minds and the Holy Spirit's help to develop new patterns in our life. And ultimately, for those who follow Jesus, we want to learn, how do we make disciples? How do we show love in our world? How do we engage with the most important people in our lives, grow spiritually and mentally, and be a part of building Jesus' eternal kingdom here on planet Earth? That's where we're going throughout the course of the series. We're all at different places in our journey. We're all at different places in our own usage of technology, and we want to take a critical look ourselves at how it influences and impacts our lives. So I want to ask you to journey with me together and to do some honest reflection of your life. I'm going to challenge you to do some work through this series. It's not going to just be spoon feeding. You come here and get a great message and you leave and don't do anything with it. I want to challenge you throughout this series to apply it to your life. And so here's what we're going to do. Today, we want to look at three possible responses to technology. And this will be our framework for our entire series, recognizing that you respond in one of these three ways to technology. And sometimes we might go back and forth between one and two of these. So if you're taking notes, the first thing that we want to do is we want to recognize our first response to technology is often an uncritical embrace of technology. Now, what is technology? That's a great question. See, technology is ultimately the application of scientific knowledge for practical purposes. You know, every generation in society from the beginning of time has had to wrestle through how we use technology. The seat you sit on is technology. The pen that you use is technology. The clothes that you're wearing are technology. So if we just decided not to do technology in any form or fashion, we would all walk around naked. And we know that that's not a viable option for any of us. So we recognize that we have to embrace technology to some degree. And as a church, we use technology over and over and over again. So don't hear us saying that we think technology is evil and of the devil. Technology is not the problem. You know who's the problem? We're the problem. And our uncritical use and embrace of technology is ultimately the issue. We use technology for those who can't join us physically to join us online. We use technology to reach people in other communities through other campuses. So technology is a tool that can be used and leveraged to build the kind of life and for a church to impact more people with God's love. So technology is not the problem. We're the ones that have to wrestle through our own usage. And this first uncritical embrace is this. It's where I just jump in, headfirst to the usage of technology and never wrestle through how technology is influencing my life. I never ask difficult questions. I just incessantly check messages whenever I can. I am so engaged in it that I never ask how technology is changing me. And so there are some problems that we face when we live our lives this way. And I want to define some of these problems that are very important for us to see. The first one is this, that technology in uncritical embrace begins to decrease participation in spiritual practices that ultimately produce change in our lives. Many of you, if you haven't already, have the app on your phone, the Bible app from YouVersion. If you haven't downloaded it, it's an incredible app. It's one of my favorite. Now, most of the time, I will read my Bible or the Bible on my iPad in the morning on YouVersion app. So I'm not like a tangible, you know, physical Bible. And I know some people are like, well, I just need to have it, you know, in my hands. And that's awesome, but it's still in your hands if it's on your phone. You know, the most important thing is it getting into our hearts. But, you know, the challenge for me sometimes with my iPad is that if I don't have my iPad in airplane mode, then I have like all of these notifications that keep coming up. And so, like, you know, I research real estate and houses that are on the market, and I have this Redfin app, and so I'm like there, you know, reading through, you know, the Lord is my shepherd, and then it's like, new house for sale for $2.5 million for 1,000 square feet in your area. And it's like, oh gosh, am I ever going to be able to buy a house? Oh, I don't know if I can buy a house. Probably not. I'm probably just going to rent a house the rest of my life. And then I'm like totally thrown off, or, you know, these notifications from friends. And then I think of things I needed to respond to. And then all of a sudden, a time that I had carved out to pray and to reflect and read scripture has become totally distracted. And that's the reality for us, that sometimes our uncritical embrace of technology has caused us to digress in our spiritual practices that ultimately lead to transformation in our lives. It also can begin to use up more time than it saves. That's the promise of technology, isn't it? If you get this app, it will change your life forever, and you will save time, and everything will be better. Every component, you'll be richer, you'll be skinnier, you'll have more time on your hands if you just get this app for $1.99. That's an exaggeration, right? But the incessant use of technology oftentimes can cause us to look and realize that there are large chunks of time that are just gone. Have you ever done this before? You pull out your phone, you have a few minutes, your kids are getting on your nerves, so you don't want to engage with them, you're going to look at Facebook. You know, my life is horrible, so I might as well find somebody online whose life is great. And so you pull out Facebook or Instagram, and you look, and you're like, okay, well, this person posted a picture, I should go there. I click through to their picture. Wow, they look like their lives are really happy. My life's horrible. Hey, look at that comment that other person made on there. Click through. Oh, I wonder if I know that person. That person looks familiar. And then you look back, and you realize 30 minutes of your life is gone. It's sucked up into wasteful activity. And it's not that Facebook's bad, and it's not that Mark Zuckerberg is trying to ruin the world with Facebook. It's that our usage of it at times can begin to consume our lives, and people who are closest to us can begin to feel like they're furthest away relationally because of our usage of technology. It costs money to purchase, enhance, upgrade, and repair. You've had this before, right? You crack the screen. Now you pay more money to fix the screen than you paid for the phone in the first place. At least that's what happened to me. Maybe I got taken for a ride on that one. But this is the reality. I mean, I bought this app for my phone called the Things app to help me get more organized. And I'm like, this is absolutely going to change the way I organize my entire life. Well, I got it for my iPhone. It's $9.99. And I'm like, okay, $9.99, that's not bad if my whole life is organized because of this one app. And then I realize I need it for my computer, and that one's $49.99. But how can I do it just on my computer and my phone without doing it on my iPad? So by the time I'm done, I'm $80 in the hole for an app that's supposed to organize my life. We've all been there before. We need to upgrade. We need the new technology. And we spend way more time and often can become bad stewards of resources, continuing to spend money on something that promises and does not deliver. It also weakens, and this is maybe one of the more important ones, and even destroys in the flesh relationships. These days, listen to this quote, these days, insecure in our relationships and anxious about intimacy, we look to technology for ways to be in relationships and protect ourselves from them at the very same time. This book is written by a lady who's done a ton of research named Sherry Turkle about the influence of technology on our lives. Have you ever done this before where you've gone to an event or you've gone to a meeting and you get there and everybody seems to kind of be connected? Maybe it was at work, maybe it was a social event, and they all know each other and they're all in their circles and talking to each other, and you don't really feel right busting into the circle because you're going to be like that weirdo and everybody's laughing at a joke, and you walk up right and you're like, ha, 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 and everybody's head's going to turn to you. So you're like, what do I do in this moment? And so what do? You pull out your phone and you start checking your messages. And you might not really be checking your you're looking at the same email you looked at 30 times already. But you feel better inside because that shield that the phone creates for you relationally. And it's true that sometimes our heads are so down that when we look into other people's eyes, we don't even know how to engage with one another. I mean, this is absolutely true with teenagers. You look at people, and this is not to bash teenagers. This is an opportunity for us to change through some of these reality checks. But sometimes teenagers are so face down texting every person that they're texting the friend that's sitting on the couch on the other side of the room conversing with them. There is story after story after story from our own life that we could pull up about our inability to connect heart to heart, face to face. We're out at a social event, spending time with friends, and everybody's on their phones, or we're taking pictures. I even did this yesterday. I was at a wedding, and I was so convicted afterwards. Here's this gal from South Bay who's getting married. She's walking down the aisle. I pull out my phone because I want to post it, you know, online and Instagram. And she walks by me, and I don't even look her in the eye and smile because I'm taking a picture so that I can post it online. And I missed a moment to connect, for this gal to know her pastor's here supporting them as they're getting married. And the reality is that happens over and over and over and over and over again in our lives. Now we're all feeling really great about ourselves. It masks and magnifies ethical issues. You know, in the past, when you had a TV in your house and you wanted to look at pornography, you had to order some DVD or get it from Blockbuster and bring it into your house and watch it. But now you can, in your phone, you can pull it up and nobody knows, except for the guys that work at Google. They know. They got you traced, and maybe the government. They probably know too. But everybody else, nobody knows what goes on behind the scenes. You used to have to go to a casino to gamble, but now you can pull out your phone and spend thousands and thousands of dollars online and cash in everything that your family had saved for years. Or you can go into the restroom and sit down on the toilet. And on Amazon.com, you can spend thousands of dollars in 5 minutes, and nobody knows until it hits the bank account. See, it masks and magnifies. It's not technology that's the problem. It's our hearts. And now we have this infinite portal that we can pursue the darkness in our hearts, and it can be masked and other people don't know about it. Last one is this: it gives us and portrays a pseudo image to ourselves and to others. I've done this before, moment of confession, where I'm out with my kids. We do boys club on Saturday, and you know, the two boys and I, we spend time together, and I'll snap a picture and it's like, hiking with my boys, hashtag awesome dad, hashtag changing generations forever, hashtag my kids think I'm the best, don't they realize that they have the best dad, and hashtag, and then like 5 minutes later, after I post this online, I'm like, I'm going to beat you if you do that one more time. You know, and I'm erupting with anger on the inside. It's like this pseudo image that we portray to everybody else that our lives are all together, when in reality, it's not. And we start to live these lives where we can build an avatar online and we can spend money to be somebody else and portray this false image of ourselves, all the while never having to deal with what's on the inside. Now, again, let me just stop. I don't think Steve Jobs, Larry Page, Mark Zuckerberg, or one of the thousands and thousands of technology creators here in Silicon Valley thought to themselves, how can I destroy people's lives with technology? They're asking the question, how can we make life better? But it's our usage that's the problem. And this uncritical embrace of technology is a solution that so many of us find ourselves in, that we have to flip our lens through which we see technology to begin to wrestle through some questions. And here's what happens. A lot of times, we get to this place where we're uncritically embracing something, and what do? We go from one ditch to the next. One of my mentors says that there's two ditches on the either side of the road, and the only people who are in the middle are those who are crossing from one ditch to the next. And the reality is there's another option that some of us, when we start to think critically, could begin to go into the second camp, and it's this. It's legalistic separation. So one is uncritically embracing. The next is to legalistically separate ourselves. You know, TV, my kids are watching shows on TV that they shouldn't watch. Well, I'm throwing the TV in the trash, and they're not watching TV anymore. Well, that's an option that you have. If my kids get phones, they're going to look at images on the phone. So I'm not going to buy them a phone until they're 23 years old. But hopefully by the time they're 23 years old, they're not still living at home. You know, the reality is we can swing from one side to the other, and there are groups of people. You know, there's the Mennonite and the Amish camp that they don't drive cars. They don't look at phones. They don't have technology in their homes, and it's this shift in perspective. And this is not to judge them for their decision, and maybe even God led them to that place. But for many of us, if we just throw out every form of technology, like we've already said, we're going to have to walk around naked. So we need some form of technology in our lives, and we have to begin to wrestle through what that looks like. Now, let me share with you some challenges that come with this legalistic separation. It begins to foster arrogance and criticism of others. So if I don't choose to look at TV or I choose not to use social media, there's this tendency inside of me to judge other people who do. And I can impute or I can program my motives into them and say, I know that they're struggling with what I would struggle if I was doing the exact same thing. And there's arrogance. That's basically what religion does to us. That we create rules for ourselves that are nowhere in Scripture. And really, it's just a tool to help us do what God wants us to do. And a tool, once it becomes a rule, has the power and capacity to destroy our lives and create a kind of Pharisaical approach to life. So this arrogance and criticism of others is what happens. Next, it leads to bondage and frustration. Some of you grew up in homes where your parents had this legalistic approach to life, and it even began to produce inside of you rebellion, where you felt like you needed to swing the other direction because of this black and white, everything so clear. There are all these rules, all these obligations that you have to follow, and you began to realize, well, if that's what God's like, I mean, I don't want to do anything with it. And now you're just coming back to church 20 years later. So that's not an option. It's not really what we want to be a part of our lives. The third problem with it is it requires no thought. And this is probably the most important one. It requires no thought in dependence upon the Holy Spirit. Just to legalistically separate ourselves from all technology requires no dependence upon God. See, Scripture teaches that there really is the sense in which those of us who choose to trust Jesus and follow him with our lives, that his Holy Spirit comes and lives inside of us to lead and to guide and to inspire and to breathe life and to give power for a new way of thinking, a new way of life that only God could give to us. And when I just create all these rules and I live by them, it requires no dependence for me upon the Holy Spirit. Now, let's just stop for a second and recognize the problem with all this, okay? Maybe you're thinking this to yourself. There's no manual. Like, if you look through the Bible from the beginning to the end, there's no, like, don't download this app. Do get this upgrade for your phone. Spend about this amount of time looking at technology a day. There's no manual. And this is true for so much of life. There's no manual for how you raise your kids. You know, I've so often wished that there would just be like 30 pages that an angel would breathe down and say, this is how you raise your kids. I mean, there are principles in the Bible that teach about it, but do I let my kids watch G.I. Joe or do I do Pokemon? I mean, what if I do Pokemon and then the evil spirits come and implant themselves into my kids through Pokemon? Like all these questions that like we wrestle through, that there's no black and white manual for how to do it. But here's what the Bible does give. The Bible gives a framework of how to live our lives. And there are principles and there are truths and there is a value system in Scripture that goes all the way from Genesis to the Revelation at the end of the Bible, that if that value system begins to be placed into our lives and begins to be the lens through which we see our decisions, then we can gain wisdom for today that applies to our lives. And that leads us to the third option, which is what we're calling disciplined discernment. And that's the option that requires wisdom and dependence upon the Holy Spirit. I love what Proverbs chapter 2, verse 1 through 6 says. My child, listen to what I say and treasure my commands. Tune your ears to wisdom and concentrate on understanding. Cry out for insight and ask for understanding. Search for them as you would for silver. Seek them like hidden treasures. Then you will understand what it means to fear the Lord, to have this understanding that there is a God who's in control of the universe and we are not him. He has principles and values and a way that the world is structured and will operate. And when you seek wisdom, you begin to realize that this framework can inform your decisions on a day-to-day basis. Then you will understand this and you will gain knowledge, the knowledge of God, for the Lord grants wisdom and from his mouth comes knowledge and understanding. See, it's my belief that God wants to give wisdom to your life and to my life. But it requires a pursuit out of you and out of me and out of all of us to pursue wisdom as we're making decisions that will influence the way that we think about the subject of technology. So my challenge for you is not to take anybody else's black and white habits and rules and regulations, but to go through your own journey to discover how technology is affecting you and to create new habits that you put into place in your life out of the Holy Spirit's leadership in your life, and then ultimately your life will begin to change as a result of it. The other passage I want us to look at is Proverbs chapter 5, verse 8, that says this: get wisdom, develop good judgment. Don't forget my words or turn away from them. Don't turn your back on wisdom, for she will protect you, love her, and guard you. I wonder sometimes if the Bible calls wisdom a lady, because women are usually so much wiser than men. That's total ADD thought right there for a second. But getting wisdom is the wisest thing that you can do. That sounds like a, you know, Captain Obvious statement, but he's saying the focal point of life, the greatest source of wisdom comes as you pursue more wisdom. And whatever else you do, develop good judgment. If you prize wisdom, she will make you great. Embrace her, she will honor you. In the New International Version, it says like this. It says it like this. The beginning of wisdom is this: get wisdom. Though it costs you all you have, gain understanding. See, the pursuit of wisdom has a cost to it. It takes time, it takes energy, it takes resources, it requires work from you. That Proverbs 2 passage, look at all the verbs: seek, cry out, listen, look for, and then that's when you gain the wisdom for the decisions that are in front of you. I want you to write this statement down. If you ask the right question from the right sources at the right time, you will gain wisdom. If you ask the right question from the right sources at the right time, you will gain wisdom. And what I want to challenge you to do over these next few weeks is to ask some difficult questions of yourself and to pray and to seek and to read and to study and to go to what Scripture teaches for those of us who are followers of Jesus and wrestle through our own usage of technology. Now, here's what we're going to do. Every week here at South Bay, we're going to give you some questions that you can go back and wrestle through yourself. And what I want to ask you to do is this week, I'm going to just walk through in just a moment about 8 questions for you to take 15 minutes. That's all I'm going to ask you. It seems like such a small commitment for such a big subject, to take 15 minutes this week to wrestle through these questions. And then the other thing I want to ask you to do is to be here each week, whether you're joining us online or Sunnyvale campus or here at North San Jose, to be a part every single week, because every component of what we talk about is going to build on itself. This first week, we're looking at the right framework. Next week, we're going to talk about this. We're going to talk about how our use of technology is affecting our egos and creating insecurity inside of us. And then in the third week, we're going to talk about how our use of technology is affecting our relationships and intimacy with one another. And then in the fourth week, we're going to talk about how our use of technology is changing our secret lives that nobody else is seeing. And so I want to encourage you, because each of these weeks will build and all of us will have different habits that will form. And as we go together through this journey, I believe that God wants to do something in us that really does change the way that we relate to one another and ultimately changes our relationship and the way that we relate to God. And here's the questions that I want you to wrestle through this week, okay? So inside your program, you can pull these out. And we're going to just walk through and give you a framework that you can think through as you go about your week. The first one is this. How does my use of technology enhance or distract from my relationship with God? Now, let me say this. If you're here and you're not a follower of Jesus, we're so glad that you're here. And we have intentionally strived to create a church where people who are at all different places in their journey spiritually can come and can explore in a safe environment and take it at their own pace. But I want to challenge you, if you're not a follower of Jesus and you are in this technology world, is it possible that technology could be the thing that's keeping you from relationship with God? Let me say it like this. See, we believe that God is a God of love, that God would send his son and he would die on a cross for your brokenness and my brokenness, for our sins, for all of our bondage that we face. And his death on a cross is significant, not just because he died a martyr's death, but because after he died, he rose from the dead. And after he rose from the dead, then he says, whoever would come to him, who would believe in him, who would choose to receive his name and follow him with their life, they would receive salvation, relationship with God that would begin from this moment all the way through all of eternity. And God is a God who pursues us. As Archie was saying when we were singing this morning, that God is a God that pursues our hearts so that we would know him. And he pursues us not with judgment, not with condemnation, but with love, with grace. He woos us. But oftentimes, our busyness, oftentimes the noise in our world is the very thing that is keeping us from hearing God's promptings as he's drawing us to himself. And what if we began to reorient our lives so that the focal point was not with our heads down, but was with our ears open so that God could speak? I wonder where you are in your journey, and if maybe technology, not that it's bad, but your usage of it is the very thing that's keeping you from relationship with your Creator and knowing him and knowing his love. The second question is this. How does my use of technology enhance or distract from intimacy in my family relationships or the most important relationships in my life? Number three, does my usage of technology enhance meaningful relationships with friends or my social world? Is my social world becoming increasingly wide and shallow? I think it's interesting sometimes how we can have thousands and thousands of friends on Facebook, but very few meaningful relationships with people closest to us. Now, technology, the benefit of it is it allows us to connect with people who are far away. Because of FaceTime, my kids can engage with my parents who live on the other side of the country. And some of you have family on the other side of the world. That's the beauty. But often we get so wide and shallow that the in-the-flesh important relationships that are closest to us begin to suffer. And we have a child that's right in front of us, but because we're engaged in technology, that most important relationship or friendship of a roommate who's walking through a difficult time, but because we're so head down, that important relationship is suffering. The next question is this. How's my level of screen time changing the way I think or relate in general, for better or worse? Watch yourself in uncomfortable situations this week and see if you don't rely on technology to deal with your insecurity or your boredom. Have you ever noticed that? How we're bored and the first thing we do is we go to technology? How is screen time changing the way that you think and relate? Check out this part of your interactions. Can you look at people in the eye? Have you ever noticed that? It's like sometimes we can't even make eye contact because we're constantly looking down at our phones. Number five, in what ways am I using technology to enhance other unhealthy addictions, whether it's ego, you know, the like me, follow me, follow me, follow me, follow me, retweet me, retweet me, retweet me syndrome that so many of us have, and then situations like knowledge or pornography or gambling or shopping, as we gave that illustration earlier, are there unhealthy addictions that you're finding a portal for because of technology that now is an opportunity to re-engage with God's help with that struggle? Number six, do I have more time on my hands to serve others because of technology I use or less? Is technology being leveraged for the kind of life that loves and serves other people? In what ways am I living and loving more like Jesus because of my use of technology? And then lastly, but certainly not least, is what is one keystone habit that I can put into place this week to help tame the negative effects of technology in my life. It might be different for you than it is for another person. It might be putting your phone on airport mode when you come home. It might be keeping it in a bag when you're at dinner with friends. It might be to stop texting while you're driving. Might be. It should be. Okay? It might be for you that you set a certain time that you check email. All of us are going to have different habits. Here's my challenge to you. Pick one. Don't pick 30. Pick one thing that you can do this week and put it into place and watch what will happen in your life as you cooperate with God. Now, let me stop us for a second. This message has been very contemplative. And the reason so is because I want to challenge you. I don't want to spoon feed you with this message series. I want to ask you to do some work. And if you only do one next step because of our message today, I want to ask you to take 15 to 20 minutes one day this week to carve out some time and write down your answers to those questions. If you want to burn it afterwards so nobody sees it, or you want to write it online and upload it so that the cloud has it and it's never found again, whatever it is, but to take the time to pause. And here's what I want to say to you, just for a second. If we could zoom out and we could go 5, 10, 30 years down the road, and that moment when we know it's all going to be done, and we have a day left to live, or a week left to live, or maybe we won't even know when it's coming, but it's gone. And we could look back on our lives 30 years down the road. How important is that friend request going to be? How important is it going to be that you responded to that text message? How important is it going to be that you got that latest, greatest app on your phone 30 years down the road from now? See, I became convicted when I prayed through and wrestled through and prepared for this series, that this subject for our generation, for my generation, and especially for Silicon Valley, is the subject that if we don't wrestle through, could become the thing that destroys us. It could become the thing that destroys our marriages, our relationship with our kids, our future generations of people who would follow Jesus after us, because our heads were so down in our apps that we did not engage in the life that God had created us to live. 30 years down the road from now, what will be most important are the things that our attention should be given to today. And I think that for all of us, God is giving us a chance in a gracious, humorous, fun way to actually think about what's most important in our lives, to realize that at the end of this life, when we go from this life to the next, what will really matter is God and the people around us. It's all going to burn up. It's all going away. And you'll stand before God and he'll ask you, did you receive my son? And what did you do with the life that I gave to you? And that's what will be most important. And I'm going to challenge you this series. I want to challenge those of you who are not followers of Christ today to receive God's love into your life and to recognize that it's not by religion, it's not by rules, it's not by regulations, but it's by faith in what Jesus has done for you, that you can receive salvation and begin relationship with God, and your life forever can be different as a result of it. Today, you can open up your heart to him. You can say to God, I want to give you control of my life. I want to surrender to you and believe in you, and he will step in and change. Others of us today, it's really to do an honest, gut-level check of our lives to say, am I pleased? Am I really pleased with the way that technology is influencing and changing me? And with God's grace, with his love, getting control of it through over these next 4 weeks. That's my hope for us. Let's pray together. Jesus, thank you today for your grace. Thank you that you love us. Thank you that you give grace so that we can change. It's not that you just condemn, but you really do want to give help. And we thank you for that power. We thank you for the promise of your Holy Spirit that lives inside of those of us who follow you. And I pray that we would rely on your Holy Spirit and your truths and your scripture to change the way that we think. I pray for people who are here today who are exploring faith and wrestling through their own belief. I pray that today would be a day of salvation for many of them to put their trust in you, or a day maybe for the first time where they actually wrestle through, am I exploring and responding to what's in my heart? And God, as a result, maybe relationship with you would begin. Thank you for this series. We pray that this would be a powerful time for our lives and that we would change as a result of it. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, as we wrap up our time together, there are just a a few things that I want to call your attention to. First of all is your connection card. And on the back of your connection card, there's a place where you can respond and write down next steps as a result of what God's doing in your heart. And I want to ask you if today you will be willing to journey with us as a church to take 15 minutes to wrestle through these questions, to write it down under the next step part that says comments. Just say, this week I will contemplate my use of technology. Just write it down there. Maybe for others of you today, you're really recognizing your need for God's grace in your life and want to begin relationship with Him. Maybe today you want to put your trust in Him for the first time. There's a place where you can say, my next step is to commit to become a follower of Jesus. Or maybe you're not ready for that step. Maybe you want to talk to somebody. Our Connection Center is open today. We have a bag with a Bible and some resources to help you as you're exploring what you believe about Jesus. So in just a few moments, we're going to have an opportunity to turn these connection cards in. And as a response, and we as a church will be praying for you as you indicate your next steps and prayer requests this week. Also, we have an opportunity to give back to God today, which is a privilege. In fact, we say often, we don't give because we have to, we give because we get to. God does not want any of His people, any of His children, to give out of guilt or obligation. It's a privilege. In fact, Scripture teaches that everything I have in my life is a gift from God and that He's given it to me. So I can never give back to God anything that He didn't first give to me, and I could never outgive God. He's a generous God. And I want to say thank you for being a generous church, for your faithfulness with generosity. Yesterday, I said earlier, I was at this wedding, and one of the things I didn't tell you is that both of the people who got married yesterday committed their lives to following Jesus at this church. And when they were together at first, they weren't living and following Jesus in a way in their relationship that was the way God wanted them to. And they made a decision after choosing to follow Jesus to live their lives and their dating relationship in response, in obedience to Jesus. And I'm sitting here watching this couple who is getting married God's way and realizing that God used this church to change their life, and future generations will forever be different because of this church. And so every time you pray, every time you give, every time you serve, you're changing lives through this ministry. And I just want to say thank you. God's using you to make a huge difference in our community. So as we give with joy, we give because God's blessed us, and we give to be a part of His work through this church. So thank you for that. Now, if you're a guest with us, you're not a follower of Jesus, no guilt, no pressure, but what we do want is that connection card to know that you're here with us. We'd love to meet you at our guest center so we can give you a journal as our way of saying thank you for being here with us. Now, we're going to watch a short video that highlights an incredible initiative that we're going to be doing this fall as a church. We want to encourage you to be a part of this. So let's watch this video. As the video rolls, invite the ushers to come forward. The buckets will be passed. You can place your connection card in and your offering envelope if you choose to participate in that way. Hey, I want to tell you something that we are very excited about here at South Bay Church. This fall, we're going to be doing a campaign called Spirituality for the Rest of Us, where our weekend services, life groups, Bay Kids, and student ministry will all be looking at one theme together. And this is the theme. God's wired us all differently, all different personalities and backgrounds, and His desire is for all of us to experience His love, to know Him, obey, and follow Him. But your journey of spirituality and growth looks different than mine, and God wants us each to grow into the person that He's created us to be. This series will give you tools that fit with your unique personality, realizing that spirituality is going to look different for you than it does for another person. And through this series, as we are joining together, I believe that God's going to do a great work in each of us. Here's what I want to ask you to do in partnership with the church. I want to invite you to join one of our life groups, to sign up and to be a part of one of those groups so that you can experience this whole theme of spirituality for the rest of us and build community. Secondly, I want to ask you to open up your home or apartment complex for one of our 130 life groups that we're looking to start this fall. Simply by pressing play on a DVD player and then leading a discussion afterwards, you will be able to make a difference in somebody else's life. You don't have to have a lot of background with spirituality or a lot of religious experience. All you need to do is be available. And we want to encourage you to sign up now to be a part of one of our life groups and to be a part of hosting so that together we can see God use our lives to make a difference here in Silicon Valley
and ultimately experience the kind of relationship that He wants each of us to have with Himself.